In this episode of the Medicinal Herbs Podcast from Holistic Matters,
we welcome back Professor Carrie Bone to talk with our host, Sarah Librem-Bloschka, about Tongkat Ali, an herb long known as a traditional tonic for testosterone support to promote healthy sexual interest and vitality.
Well, I'm excited today to have a conversation with Professor Carrie Bone, and we are going to talk about a really interesting topic. Some may call it manopause or male menopause, or the official name is andropause. So, Carrie, welcome. Can you tell me a little bit about what is andropause?
Thank you, Sarah. It's wonderful to be with you again. Well, it's what's been called the male menopause, but it's not really like a menopause in that it happens, you know, over a discrete short period of time. Andropause occurs gradually, and testosterone doesn't necessarily drop to incredibly low levels, but they decline. So the term, it was coined, I don't know, about two decades ago, and it refers to the age-related decrease in serum testosterone in men. So the actual term andropause in scientific circles appears to be falling out of use now, and it's been replaced by a number of terms. The one I'm finding most in the literature now is late-onset functional hypogonadism, which is, I guess, abbreviated LOFH. But it's also been described as PADAM, which is partial androgen deficiency of the aging male, or testosterone deficiency syndrome. So you can see there are many names by which it goes under. So what happens with the aging in the man? There's diminished secretion of luteinizing hormone from the pituitary gland, and so the testosterone production by the testes is decreased. That's the main thing. There are also other kind of functional subtleties that also contribute to the problem. For example, there's an increased feedback inhibitory effect of testosterone at the pituitary level, so it cuts down LH even further. There's reduced function and vigor, if you like, in the cells that produce testosterone, which are the Leydig cells. And it starts happening fairly early on, typically from around about 40 years, 1% per annum decline in testosterone. And it leads to a number of symptoms, although all of this is somewhat controversial, but certainly when you see it in the clinic, you understand it is a real phenomenon, and perhaps it's the previous name like andropause that has stopped its wider acceptance, but now with functional hypogonadism or late onset functional hypogonadism, they're trying to get it to, I guess, a more credible level among scientists and medical practitioners. But the symptoms are real, and they include decreased libido, lack of energy, decreased strength and endurance, decreased enjoyment of life, you know, being sad and grumpier, you know, like the grumpy old herbalist, problems with erectile function, problems with drowsiness in the evening, and even deterioration in the work performance. But unlike menopause, it's not inevitable. And numerous studies have demonstrated that fit and healthy men in their 70s can achieve levels of testosterone within the normal range. And I believe there are herbs that can also facilitate that. So a 70, 80-year-old man with testosterone in the normal range is what we want, because it's part of healthy aging. And of course, given my age, I have a real focus on healthy aging. As one of my colleagues at university once said to me, you're interest in anti-aging research is proportional to your age. So as I mentioned, there are several herbs that can help in this regard, including, let's put it in inverted commas, and because plants have been around for a long, long time, but including a new one.
New, I think, is maybe definitely needs to be right in quotes. What is this new herb is Tongkat Ali, right, that we're talking about?
Yes,
which has been around for obviously centuries in kind of TCM. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it is, and then how does it relate to functional hypogonadism, or as we were previously maybe discussing it as andropause?
Yeah, well, it's a traditional herb. It comes from Southeast Asia. It's used widely across Southeast Asia, but particularly the main source of knowledge and entity supply of it comes from Malaysia. And I first became aware of this herb probably more than a decade ago at an Anaheim expo, because an academic colleague of mine who was doing consultancy work for the Malaysian government, they decided they wanted the world to know more about their Malaysian traditional herbs. So he had a booth at Anaheim where they were presenting information and indeed raw material supply on a range of traditional Malaysian herbs. And the herb that really got my interest was the Tongkat Ali, spelled T-O-N-G-K-A-T, one word, A-L-I, second word. So its botanical name is Uricomia. And in Malaysia, it's used as a general tonic for energy, which most of these male herbs are, but also as a male aphrodisiac. And as mentioned, it's an exciting new option for treating functional hypogonadism and all of its associated problems, as I mentioned. And therefore, as such, it can help with decreased libido and sexual performance in men, and particularly provide support for older men, and will even improve their physical and psychological well-being. Now, a little bit more about the plant as it stands. It's a funny looking plant. It's a spindly looking palm-like plant, but it's not a palm, and it can grow to about 60 feet, but it does this fairly slowly over decades. We use the root for therapy, and it contains a range of bitter compounds. So it's quite bitter to taste. So better to use it as a tablet or a capsule rather than, say, drink a tea or use a liquid extract, because it is very bitter.
Kerry, how then would you use it in clinic? You know, what would be those main kind of like patients you're thinking about?
Well, it's mainly used in men, but as I mentioned, it is a kind of tonic, so it's not precluded in women. And indeed, in traditional use, it was used in women as a tonic, but mainly for, as mentioned, improving testosterone levels where they're reduced or towards the lower end of the normal range. That's where I see its main use. And as such, improving male sexual function, including, interestingly, fertility. But if we look at the tonic side, it can help restore and build vitality under many circumstances. So, for example, when the person is over fatigued or they're convalescing from an illness or such. And like most tonics, it appears to do this by supporting energy levels and helping make the stress response more efficient.
As we think about the use of it in this way to improve testosterone and others, what is the level of clinical evidence that we are seeing out there? And, you know, can you talk a little bit more about what type of research there is in regards to Tongkat Ali?
Certainly. So what attracted my interest when I first came across this herb, as I said, over about a decade ago, was there was some dawning clinical research to support its use. Now, my view is when a herb comes along and we want to use it in a modern context, well, I don't have direct contact with the person who've accumulated the clinical experience. So generally what I'm looking for personally as a therapist is I'm looking for scientific clinical data under those circumstances. So 10 years ago, there was some, and it looked very promising. And now that's accumulated over time to result in the situation where I am actually compelled. I think there's enough evidence to say, I now have to start using this herb in my practice. And it's a great backup or even first use herb in the context of other similar herbs like Korean ginseng or tribulus, for example, when they're not available or when they don't seem to work to expectations in the individual patient. So my clinical experience with this herb at the moment is limited, but I'm looking forward very much to using it in my practice, and I'm confident I'll get good results because of the clinical data. For example, there's quite a well-conducted clinical trial that showed benefit in erectile dysfunction. As alluded to earlier, most of the trials, and they're around about four good quality trials showing that Tongkat Ali significantly increased total testosterone where the levels were lower, for example, in late onset functional hypogonadism. And these trials were conducted over a period of 1 to 6 months. And then we have other trials attesting to its tonic effect where fatigue has been reduced. This was a cohort of older men, and there was another cohort of older men who took it and quality of life was improved, and they were followed up for over 3 months. And even tension and anxiety in moderately stressed individuals, that was improved in a clinical trial. So of course, one of the aspects of male function, and I didn't mention it, was male fertility. And there has been a trial where there was a significant improvement in sperm concentration, sperm appearance and motility with improved pregnancy outcomes. So there is quite a portfolio now of clinical data on this, what was traditional Malaysian herb, that I think compels any serious herbal therapist. And of course, the fact that it supports hormonal function, to me, it's a wonderful addition to the functional herbal therapy approach that I advocate. And so I feel compelled now to use it in my practice.
I know I was just reading some kind of emerging data on it in the area of sarcopenia, which also would obviously make a lot of sense, right? Because if you could improve your testosterone output, that then you usually see improvements, you know, in combination with exercise and protein and so on. So I think that's kind of like, if you go back to your aging comment, right? That's an important area kind of to start thinking about too. And there's just some emerging data, which is very interesting to see how that would work in practice.
I think so. And depending on what trials they do and what evidence they generate, I would suspect it may even have a particular role for women as well in that regard. And of course, sarcopenia is a big issue around healthy aging. So you do get the two types of unhealthy aging that occur in people. And one is, of course, the type of unhealthy aging where they go overweight, weight around the middle, insulin resistance, metabolic derangement. But the other type in, you know, thinner individuals is loss of muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And both pathways are absolutely devastating in terms of their effects on normal processing in the body, for example, and maintaining good health and well-being. For example, there are studies tying in loss of muscle mass with risk of dementia, for example.
Well, you know, frailty, which, you know, is the advanced of sarcopenia, is one of the leading causes of death right at the end. So somebody falls. And so both of kind of those paths that you described, that overly thin person or the obese person also can have that frailty too. It's just covered up. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I think, you know, ways to support that aging individual is so key. And that's an area that I really see interesting and unique opportunity for both men and women with this ingredient.
And I would add that for healthy aging in a man, some kind of support for natural enhancement of testosterone production is fairly core.
Right. And then also, you know, the healthy aging too, kind of that effects of mental health. We know that though, as you age, sometimes there's that ability for people to feel separate and less independent, which then leads to all these other effects.
Absolutely, poor
mental health. So it's a real circular kind of issue, right?
Yeah, it's a cascading runaway issue that happens on many fronts that all feed back into each other and amplify and actually operate in a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. So before anybody takes anything new, right, they want to understand the safety. So could you talk a little bit about the safety profile?
Okay, so the clinical trials showed no important or significant adverse effects in it with the use of the Tomcat Ali. There was one drug interaction trial where they compared people taking Tomcat Ali or placebo in terms of the absorption of the beta blocking drug propranolol in healthy people. And there was a reduced absorption, although it didn't translate into any clinical effects. There were no significant changes in heart rate or blood pressure. So it's one of these low level of risks. So you might want to be cautious there, but I don't think there's a high risk. There don't appear to be any contraindications for it. Pregnancy and lactation, well, it's probably not a herb you would use during pregnancy and lactation. There's no data on lactation, but the traditional information and animal research suggests that there shouldn't be any issue in pregnancy, although it's an unlikely clinical occurrence anyway, or clinical need anyway.
Can we talk a little bit about safety, maybe specific to women and maybe unwanted things that sometimes raising testosterone would happen, and maybe just how that would affect if you were to utilize Tomcat Ali in your female patients?
Sure. That's a bit of an unknown at present because we don't have the clinical data or the pathway. So obviously, and again, we're not sure how the Tomcat Ali works. I mean, we do have pharmacological data, animal models, but they're not always reliable. It possibly acts in two ways, as I said, by supporting the Leydig cells themselves, but may act by increasing LH. So that's a different pathway, of course, to the way a woman produces testosterone. So we don't necessarily know how greatly it will impact that in women. But as I said, it has been traditionally used by women. Apparently, it has even been traditionally used to support pregnancy. But I think we have other better options at present. So I would see what we need to investigate is whether it might help with sarcopenia and as a tonic in women. I think that's the area that'd be more productive.
You know, like so many herbs that we see, turmeric, ashwagandha, that there can be quality issues and adulteration and so on. Do we see the same kind of risk in Tomcat Ali, or maybe talk a little bit about where we could potentially see some quality concerns, or if there is any.
Well, I'd like to pick up, Sarah, on your first comment about the issues with quality and substitution. And the American Botanical Council, and you can look this up online, has an ongoing program about substitution and therefore issues with herbal quality. And they issue monographs with methodology as to how you can detect that issue of substitution and guard for it. And it is quite extraordinary that I think they're up to now 70 plus monographs, 70 plus monographs. So what does that tell us? That tells us that quality issues and substitution and adulteration are widespread in the herbal industry. So it's buyer beware. It is absolutely buyer beware. And often the cheaper something is, it's because it doesn't come from that herb, you know. There are many examples. We could do a day seminar on it with the wealth of data that the American Botanical Council has generated. So when we're looking at a new inverted commas herb like Tongkat Ali, we need to understand its phytochemistry. Now, it contains a range of constituents, but especially these bitter tasting quassanoids, which interestingly have activity against insects, and quassanoid containing plants were traditionally used as insecticides, quite safe ones, I might add, traditional insecticides. And there's one particular phytochemical in that class called uricomenone, and it's often used as a quality marker. So there needs to be a good level of uricomenone to show that the right plant has been used and the extract has been made in the right way. But the other thing that, particularly when you're relying for your confidence on a herb's clinical trial data, the other thing is to use an extract. Make sure you're using an extract that closely matches both the nature, the quality, and the dose of the extract that has been used in the multiple clinical trials.
Yeah, I think those are all really important points for every herb, but especially something new that is becoming more used in the marketplace, right?
Yes, indeed.
So, Carrie, any last thoughts on Tongkat Ali, other than it really just has a great name, I think. It kind of gets, you know, kind of makes you think maybe what it's used for a little bit. But any kind of like last thoughts on how we would use it in clinic to help our patients as we move forward?
Well, the first last thought I'd like to say is the evidence will continue to accumulate. So as I said, I've seen this grow and even accelerate in the last 10 years. So this is a herb for which we're going to get further evidential support for the uses that I've mentioned, and that will give us a further confidence, and we may even extend that out to new uses as well. But the typical, well, the most obvious person for this is a male with low testosterone, no matter what their age. So younger, especially you're going to be looking at supporting fertility. Older, you're going to be looking more about well-being, strength and endurance, muscle strength, and generally helping with sexual function, but also work performance and helping make them less grumpy, but above all, helping them to age in a healthy way so they can continue to get fulfillment and enjoyment out of life well into senior years.
Well, I think this is going to be a key to many of our practitioners helping those individuals, specifically men who are aging and really making a difference in their quality and really quantity of life too, to keep them well as they move forward. So I really appreciated learning more about Tongkat Ali, and thank you for your time as always.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you for listening to the Medicinal Herbs Podcast from Holistic Matters. To learn more about Tongkat Ali and other medicinal herbs, visit holisticmatters.com. That's holistic with a W.